Hey yo, what is up everybody? Welcome to the TJTV podcast, only on Spotify and Google Podcasts. How's everyone doing on this beautiful, actually it's kind of a cloudy day, to be honest. Anyways, what is up everybody? It's really not a good day outside, like it looks really crappy out, but hey, it is what it is. Alright, so in any event, took a week off, and there's a lot of stuff to get into, but we are going to talk about all that stuff next week. Because next week we have a guest that is coming on my show, and she may be a recurring guest, and it's going to be a really good time. So stay tuned for that. You know what I'm saying? And anyways, yeah, we have an interview coming up in just a few minutes with the Philly sports guy who has over 240,000 followers on TikTok. And it's really going to be a fun interview. I'm telling you right now, it's a really fun interview. So stay tuned for that. But I do want to talk about one thing before we go. The Beatles has a new song, and it's called Now and Then. And here's the story behind it. I'm only going to play the first like couple minutes anyways, but the story behind the Beatles, John Lennon supposedly had a recording of a song, like of this song in particular, back in the day. Like I think it was like the 70s before he passed away, or the 80s. It was either one of those years, but in any event, Yoko Ono had the audio. She gave it to Paul, and Paul and Ringo got together and they made something out of it. Plus a little AI was involved with it too, which, hey, I mean, I'm not a big fan of AI, but that's just who I am. I mean, it is what it is. But in any event, yeah, he literally made music out of this file. So in any event, I'm going to play you guys the song, The Beatles Now and Then. Oh, plus they had George in it too. And if you watch the whole music video, they have a green screen with John and George. It's a really great song. And video as well. So, yeah, it is what it is. All right. In any event, here's what we're going to be doing. I'm going to play this song, Now and Then. If you want to listen to the full song, go on YouTube. It's up there. And, yeah. When we come back, we're going to be back with the Philly sports guy, only on the TJTV podcast. Stay tuned.
TJTV. Wow.
I love this song. I really, really love this song. You know, I saw Disturbed in concert this summer, and hands down, this was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Like, I've been to at least maybe 12 concerts in my entire lifetime, and this concert, hands down, was the best concert I've ever been to. I've never cried at a concert, and I've always had a good time, and watching Disturbed and listening to them, I cried at this concert, I had a great time, and it made me just want to, like, follow them around on their tour. That's how great this concert was. They played so many great songs. Stricken, Down with the Sickness, The Light, Sound of Silence. Really great song. I also like the Simon and Garfunkel version, which is the actual first version of the song. So, yeah, the Sound of Silence with this song was really good.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
It's a much more mellow tone.
I've come to talk with you again.
I'm sure heavy metal wasn't the thing back in the 60s.
Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Yeah, great song. You know, there were a lot of good songs back in the day. Like, you also got to think the Mamas and Papas, California Dreaming, really great song. Like, the more and more I think about it, my dad used to listen to these songs, and, like, some of these songs are really, like, you would never hear it in this day and age. Because, like, a lot of kids nowadays listen to hardcore rap, which is on, and then you got people who are my age and older listen to rock music that was never around back in this day and age. You also got White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. Like, this song's just so boring, but I love it. There's actually one show that has a doo-wop channel. Like, he has a doo-wop show on air, and he listens to straight-up doo-wop. And I have to say, I love it.
One pill makes you larger, and
like, in this day and age, nobody would ever listen to these songs. The more and more I think about it. Like I said.
One man on the chessboard.
I could only get to the chorus of this. But I don't see anybody listening to these types of songs at this time, at this moment in time, unless you're above 80. Or maybe 60 or 70. Like, I don't see anyone listening to that unless you're above 60 or you're in your 70s or 80s. I don't know anybody who listens to this stuff. I really, truly don't. Or you got Frank Sinatra. Like, these songs were so classic. That's back life. In the day.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
And you're never going to hear these types of songs you're in this day and age. Maybe Michael Bublé. Then you got Benny King. Stand By Me. Great song. Man, I should have been born back in these days. Like, I love these songs. And the land is dark. Then you got Ray Orbison, Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, walking down the street, Pretty Woman.
Then you got the Ronettes.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go. So won't you say you love me? I'll make you so proud of me.
You got Dion, Run Around Sue. I can't keep going on like that. I gotta get on with this interview. These songs are so crazy. Okay, these songs are crazy. I gotta do one more song. Let's see. Bobby Darin, Dream Lover. I don't know why you keep going on with these songs. I gotta get on with the interview. Alright. Had enough of that. Anyway, the whole point, the moral of the story is, all these songs I just played, you would never hear on the radio unless you listen to 60s on 6, or actually, I don't even know if it's 60s on 6 anymore. But anyways, if you go on SiriusXM, I'm sure there's a channel with 1960s music. I've listened to it because my dad listened to it, but that is what it is. All right, enough of that. I gotta go. Let me take a break. Or actually, no, the interview's coming up in 2 seconds. Let me get rid of the drink of water. Gonna hop on Zoom. Gonna get on with the interview, and then we're gonna go from there. So I'll see you guys in a few minutes, and yeah. All right.
All right, I'm here with Jamie, the Philly sports guy, who has almost 250,000 followers on TikTok, and that's actually how I found you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Living a dream.
So what do you do to get to all these games? Because you were at the Phillies playoff games, you go to Eagles games, you were at our Flyers game recently from what I saw. What do you do to get into these like games?
I acquire tickets, whether I buy them or people, sometimes I get help through people giving them to me. For Saturday, for instance, there was an event happening with the Irish and English Eagles fans where they were at a Sixers game. So I had gone to the Sixers game initially. And then at that evening, somebody had given me Flyers tickets as well. So I was able to go to both games on Saturday. And then of course the Eagles game on Sunday.
That has to be pretty cool. I mean, so what got you into posting TikTok videos and painting your face? Have you always done that? Or is it just something new that you came up with?
So I've been painting myself up for Eagles games for 20 plus years. It's just that I wouldn't do them at home games. We would do them on the road. And I would go to like one road game a year with my brother and a few friends. And I would be the guy that started painting, would paint his face and be that guy. I never really did it at home because it was Sean Young was the one who kind of did it at home. And I didn't want to interfere with kind of what he was doing. And then I got recognized at the Saints game where Alshon Jeffrey missed the ball and we lost that playoff game. And I wound up getting asked by a production company to do a commercial for a charity. And I did the commercial, and they're like, "Man, your energy's amazing. You're like the Philly sports guy. You should see if that name's available." And it was. And they're like, "If you want to learn social media, we'll teach you." They taught me some of the basics and said, "Go ahead and go." And I've been going ever since.
And you gained over 200,000 followers. That's amazing. How long, how many years has that been? Just a year, or has it been longer?
No, I want to say it's been about 3 years
3 years.
with TikTok to get to that. I mean, it's with TikTok specifically, it's difficult to get to the plateau, to get to the areas that you need to get to. Like, first it's 1,000, then it's 10,000, and then it's 100,000. Once you get to 100,000, things change a little bit, but it's still tough. Like, my next goal would probably be, actually, it's been kind of funny because I haven't gone beyond 250. I'm right around 247, and
Right.
it's been a fight to get to the 250,000 mark. I feel like once I get to 250, I'll start to really rise till I get to about 500,000.
Right. That, yeah, I mean, I'm at 24,000 right now, or 24,000, I'm sorry. Yeah, 24,000? I think. Yeah, I think it's like 24,000 on TikTok, and like it's hard just to get to where I want to be. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
I
the
want.
hard part is that you have to be able to. So, I mean, I don't call it luck because I feel that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I've been always very good at doing one takes. So the funny part about my doing one takes is that when you're showing a lot of passion for something and it doesn't turn out and you're graceful in defeat, it creates very unique sound bites when you throw them together. So, for instance, I feel like that I am the sound bite for when a team is, the season's over. When you lost and you're done, I am that sound bite because it was like, hey, the two different videos got made where it was like, hey, we're down by 17, but I didn't hear no bell. This game ain't over yet. And the very first line of the next video I made was, so the season is over. And it was such a, like, it was just an honest moment from my side. You know what I mean? Because I started the videos both like that. So it was the start of one video. And the very next video, it was the start of that one. And it wound up becoming a viral hit. Plus, when you are this guy, when you are me, when your team loses, everybody wants to pile on.
Yeah, exactly. Did you? So I saw you made the video when the Phillies lost, and I want your honest opinion. Who do you think lost the game? Because I don't know. I have some words about Craig Kimbrell, but I believe he was one of the reasons why we lost a couple of those games because of him, in my personal opinion.
They went cold at the wrong time.
Yeah.
They just started to go cold. I'll tell you that I feel that there were a lot more opportunity that they could have won game three and game four and didn't. And that may have been a little bit by design, but game six and game seven, I feel like personally and honestly, I feel like that the Phillies lost game six and game seven just outright. Like when they got back from Arizona, playing in the cold weather was cold. It got them cold. And Arizona wasn't even that good either, but their small ball games, like the Phillies should have won those games 6-4, 7-4, because Arizona's only going to score 4 points,
Yeah.
four runs. But they didn't do it. And that's the honest God truth. I feel like that the Phillies didn't do it, and it was as a team. It had nothing to do with Kimbrel. I mean, everybody can kind of put a little blame on Kimbrel. Everybody can put a little blame on Castellanos. You can put a little blame on a couple of the errors that occurred that created runs that maybe would have made a difference in the series in total. Those are the things that, all, when you put them all together, every bit of it was the reason why we lost.
Right. Okay, yeah, now I got that. Yeah, that was a devastating loss for us. And I mean, the Eagles, they're really doing really well. I mean, besides the one game they lost, but do you believe that their offense, like their offense has just been like slacking recently? Is that just me?
No, I think that they're not anywhere near where they need to be yet. I'll be honest. I feel like we haven't played a good game yet. My expectation is that we don't win a Super Bowl in October, but they're still winning games, and that's what good teams do. You win games, and people could cry. There's all a bunch of Cowboys fans crying. Oh, the refs. When their team has been creating penalties to the tune of 10 and 12 a game. You know, they're just not very disciplined, and they're going to cry about the fact that the refs were against us and they didn't make certain calls and they didn't do certain things. The truth of the matter is that that's a crybaby mentality. Similar to the reason, like as I'm talking about the World Series, you know, hey, listen, if you watch game 3 and game 4 and you watch the umpire behind the plate, he was calling strikes where they were absolutely balls, and it was way too much for Arizona than it was for the Phillies. Way too much. It was way out of sync. But I don't use that as what caused us to lose the series. I say that the fact that they couldn't win game 6 or game 7 where the umpire was calling them all right, you know, that's where we lost our series, because you can't rely on the umpires or the refs or whatever. You got to do what you got to do. And right now the Eagles are doing that. But I want them to really snap on all cylinders in January. January and ultimately in February. I don't care how they get there. I just want them to be perfect and have their best games in January and February.
Because that's where we'll get to where they need to be.
That's what gets parades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I want to win the last game of the season, not this game. I don't care. I can care less about this game. Yeah, for the Jets, they were watching the Phillies game. Come on. That's why they were tired. The Jets played really tough. You know what I mean? They finally wanted to break the fact that they could never win a game against the Eagles in 14 attempts throughout their entire history.
Right.
So, I mean, they wanted it a lot more. And we almost beat them. So, I mean, it really says more about us than it does about them.
Yeah, it's just like the whole – I love the whole Philly sports, fan base. Like, our fan base is so – it's, like, the biggest fan base in the world. And, like, we have such a love for, the teams. And it's just, it's a really cool thing just to live where we live. I mean, I'm assuming you're from, Delco, I would imagine, right?
I am in Delco, correct. I hear you. I wouldn't know that we're the biggest fan base. I feel that, you know, beyond the fact that Philadelphia gets a bad rap in the national sense, we are probably the smartest sports fan base as a collective. You know, when I say that, it's like you ask 5 out of 10 people, you know, I bet you 5 out of 10 people could name more Eagles on our roster other than Jalen Hurts and Jason Kelsey and A.J. Brown. You know, I feel like that there are a lot more household names throughout people who are fans here, where you go to another city and you don't have that. They have no idea who's on the team. They just, oh, they're winning. Yay. You know what I mean? They just don't care. And if they're losing, oh, well, where we just wear our hearts more on our sleeves.
Right. No, yeah, I like that. Did you go to the parades, like the Phillies parade in 2008 and then the Eagles parade when they won in 2018?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I did not paint up.
No.
I wouldn't do that again. If they won this time, I would paint up. But I was ill prepared. First off, I've only been doing this really full time for 6 years. So I have a lot more following now than I did when I started this. I was painted up for the Super Bowl, but I went to like five bars and stopped by there and then ended at my brother's house to watch the Super Bowl. I didn't go to the Super Bowl in 2018. However, if I was at a parade this year, if we won in February, the parade this year, I would absolutely be painted up throughout that entire parade, and just be more prepared for what was coming. Because when you have 2 million fans around, it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't get to take a break very often during games, and it's. Everybody thinks that, hey, you get to go to games, you just get to cheer on your team and you do whatever. It's a lot. I take anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 pictures every Eagles game.
Yeah, you're doing it for a job standpoint, but a lot of the people who follow you, they're looking at, oh, this is fun. But no, this is an actual job that you're doing.
Well, I created a job. Nobody's ever done this before. I mean, listen, Sean has made some money being a fan, so it's not like making money being a fan is, exclusive to what it is that I'm doing. But what has been the challenge is making a job where there isn't one. My goal as being the Philly sports guy is to bring the experience of being at the game to the people that are following me. That's what I want to do more than anything else. And there are certain brands that want to attach with that. That's what I want to have created. That I'm not the I don't I'm not any better of a fan than any other Philadelphian. All I do is wear different face paint. Most people don't wear face paint. Some people do wear face paint. You just see me more because I am always positive. I'm never going to curse and never going to disrespect myself, my city, or my team ever. And when you have that level of positivity all the time, hey, is it a little, I don't boo. Okay. That doesn't mean I don't let anybody else boo. I don't curse. Listen, I've been in the Navy. I know how to curse, but I just don't. I choose not to. I don't drink at the games because there's too many kids walking around. And I want to make sure that, if they're going to follow me, that I'm setting the right example for them as well. And, if, I'm not the voice of the Philadelphia fan, but I might be more of the face of the Philadelphia fan.
Wow, that's cool though. Like, because a lot of fans still go and drink and curse and stuff, but you're like setting the, like you just said, you want to be Mr. Positivity, setting a good example for kids who are watching you, and they might recognize you at a game depending on where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, the kids are the ones that do it most, but at Eagles games, I get take a tremendous amount of pictures of people like adults that come up to me and say, I need to take a picture because my kid follows you. And that's an affirmation of sorts that, hey, I am okay with my son following you as a person. It's like, I don't know that I could be called myself a role model because I paint my face for a living. I tell people when you paint your face for a living, you better get the joke. So I do. I don't take myself too serious. However, it's important to me. I would want my son or my daughter to follow somebody similar to me in terms of the values that I have. I'm just as passionate. I'm just as crazy. I'm just as pat, nuts of a fan as anybody else wants to be. I just know how to do it in the right way, where it's PG, I guess, or PG-13 even,
Right.
and it's more wholesome and family oriented, I guess, in general.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. You said you were in the Navy, right?
I was.
How long were you in the Navy for?
3.5 years, actually.
Really?
Yep. I actually spent my 18th birthday in boot camp and went from there.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
51.
51.
Yeah. So, thinking about that, like before I did this, I owned a chimney and masonry contracting company. So I, being a military guy, the company's name was United States Masonry and Chimney. So it was USMC, because I wanted to keep that veteran-owned and operated thought process within the mix. And I actually came up with a program where I was able to get military members to, if they wanted to leave, once they got out of the military, if they wanted to get on a path to own their own business, they would be able to use the Montgomery GI Bill or the post 9/11 bill and get different credits, but become also a fully certified chimney sweep. And they would get to own their own version of United States Masonry and Chimney in wherever location they were, free for that. It was like they were going to be able to open up their own for free. And
Right.
it would be United States Masonry and Chimney wherever they wanted to do it at. And it was actually a great program. Money is always the problem. You know what I mean? It's like it's hard to kind of get somebody who wants to work even. So not that military members don't want to work. It's just when you get out, sometimes it's easier to go with Boeing and other things. And it just didn't pick up as well as I would have liked it to.
Yeah, no, my mom was in the Navy when she was a kid and she got out. I don't know how many years she spent, but yeah.
Yeah, I went to boot camp. And how old is your mom? I got to imagine she's probably close to my age.
57, no, 58. I think she'll be 58 this year. 58 or
Okay.
59.
So yeah, I went to boot camp in Orlando, which is where she went to boot camp.
Yeah.
The women all went to Orlando, and that's where I went to go as well. So
Yeah, she told me she was stationed in like Hawaii, like right where Pearl Harbor was, and she always tells me like it's eerie, like just being near there, which I
it
can imagine.
is.
You been there too?
I have not. I have not. I've only heard the stories. It's like when there's that many things that have happened there's a lot of ghosts walking around.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Not in a real sense. You know what I mean? I feel like that there's always going to be a presence around, and like you walk through a graveyard and you feel the presence of certain people. Certain people's energies live beyond them. And I feel like that's a ghost. You know what I mean? When you feel somebody's energy even after they've passed on, that's what a ghost is.
Yeah, no, I got you. Then you go to, I've talked to a lot of people at work. I work for a radio station, but you go to a lot of events at the Fanatic, from what I was told from a friend of mine.
Well, they are. So I do a lot of stuff with Philly Sports Trips, and
Okay.
Philly Sports Trips does a lot with the Fanatic. Do I have a specific tie to the Fanatic? I was on the radio. They did put me on one time. However, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a free agent. So I don't know what radio station you work for. But if they were looking for somebody to get on the radio, I would consider it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like that would be a good thing because, like, with the fan base that we have, I mean, you have the face for it and you have the energy for it, from what I, from just talking to you right now, like, you could get a spot on the radio.
You know what? I think once people got over the initial, oh, this is the guy who paints his face. You know what I mean? Because I think that there would be a little bit of that. Even the one time I was on the radio for, a show, and that's exactly what occurred. It was just like, what are you bringing anybody on? The truth of the matter is, I have to know not only my team, but the team we're playing against, because I'm going up against their super fans. So, like, when I go and talk to them, I need to know my stuff. Or else they're going to get the better of me, and nobody gets the better of me. I make sure that. I make sure that when posed with another super fan or anything, I am the one that looks better. I am the one that presents better. I am the one that's going to be more knowledgeable, because I don't want them to get the better of me. And they might. That doesn't mean that I'm always going to win, but
right.
I'm going to try. You know what I mean? I take it very seriously because I don't want to lose. You know, just like I say, I bring it every play of every game all day. That's what you got to do. You got to bring it every play of every game. And that's what we want out of our players. And that's what I would expect a fan base who follows me wants out of me.
Right. Do people ever like antagonize you when you're at the games, or no? Are
they all the time. All the time. So when I'm at a different stadium, obviously it's easy. You know, it's like you'll get the ones that, I mean, and let's be honest, these other stadiums, they know me too. You know, it's like I'm not a secret anymore. Like, they know who I am. They've seen me on TV. They want to take pictures with me. They feel that if you're going to be shown on TV so much, you obviously must be an okay example. Like, I'm not doing things that wrong. You're not catching me in bad situations. I'm not robbing banks. You know what I mean? Or anything like that. It's so it becomes a trust factor through the media that they know me and others. So when the banter happens, you know, if they start to get a little bit out of hand, where they start to really curse at me, then I'm like, yo, no need to curse. We got kids around. We could still go back at it. You know what I mean? Just and they respect that. When they start hitting below the belt, I just disengage, because that means I've won. You know what I mean? That means they're not intelligent enough. When they start to try to bully me, nobody gets to bully me. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you already lost because you're not that smart. You know what I mean? You don't know what else to say at this point. So, and that's why I'm always very big against bullying. I do a lot of charity work for schools and such like that to discuss bullying and anti-bullying and like an anti-bullying program.
Wow. Were you ever bullied in school? Or?
Of course. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm going to say probably 95% of the student population at one point or another gets bullied.
Yeah.
And that's just what's real. Like, the even bullies get bullied. And that's part of what happens. They're getting bullied by their parents in most cases. You know, so everybody's gotten bullied at some point or another. And there's a certain thought process that comes to it. You're never going to stop bullying. But you can have the right mindset and instill that into others so right. that you would be able to strengthen the ones that are feeling it the most and soften the ones who are creating the most bullying memories. You know, that's how you solve the problem. You don't say, hey, we can't bully anybody, because that's not how that gets solved.
Yeah, I mean, I was in seventh and eighth grade. I was bullied a lot by three big, you know, big guys. I'm a skinny guy, as you probably can tell. I'm skinny, but like three dudes would always bully me every day, and then I would go home, try to talk to my dad. He didn't want to hear it. So it's like I kind of got like neglected because he didn't want to like help me out. And I did karate for 12 years, but that still didn't help, because like I always had three people ganging up on me, and their friends would always try to gang up on me. And I can't defend myself with 10 different people if I'm just one dude.
Right. You know? No. And there's always different challenges that are faced with that. It's at that point, you got to start to, you know, at that point, you know, when it starts to become 3-on-1, 4-on-1, 5-on-1, you have to get help. You don't have enough hands. You know what I mean? That's really what it comes down to. You have to start to get other people involved in a real way. And at that point, You know, it's like I'm not, I don't condone snitching until you have to. You know what I mean? If you're getting beat up by five guys every day, then you got to tell somebody. You got to let somebody else know. If somebody's taking your money and doing whatever, you got to let somebody know. You can't just be the punching bag. If you are getting bullied by one individual person, it's probably a situation with that individual who's having difficulties in their life, and they're taking it out on you because you are the easy target. Yeah. And those are the differences between bullying and abuse. And the line in the sand is pretty defined as far as I feel, but it's very at gray when it comes to most people.
Yeah, it's funny too, because like once I got into high school, like I was like the coolest freshman. My sister graduated when I got into high school, so everyone knew me and everyone like protected me. But one of my bullies came to the school, like I think it was my sophomore year, and we were talking, and he told me like, look, back when we were kids, like I had a lot of like screwed up things happen to me, and then recently I found out what, you know, where his dad actually was and what his dad did. So, you know, I kind of like put myself in his shoes and said like, wow, this guy had a really fucked up childhood, messed up childhood, you know.
Well, and that's really what it comes down to. A bully who's bullying somebody else has got an issue with what's going on in their lives. You know, even my daughter was just, you know, having a challenge with a specific, you know, acquaintance of hers or somebody in her class. And it's hard to tell them, hey, listen, it's not your fault. You know, what they're saying may be hurtful to you, but you can't believe them. You can't listen to what it is they're saying. They're hurting in a different way, and they're taking it out on, you're taking that hurt out on you. And it's, how do you get them to see that? You have to affirm them. Where in ninth grade, where you were cool because your sister, your older sister, who was, I'm assuming, probably a junior or senior at that time, you have a tie to the upperclassmen, so you become cool. You know, yeah. It works that way. Because it's like, hey, I'm hanging with some juniors and some seniors, and, you know, I remember what high school was like, so I don't need to go explain that or try to, you know, talk about that from 40 years ago, it seems like now. But, I mean, realistically, it's like the ones that are getting bullied are the ones that are still fighting the challenges. And it's a natural occurrence where somebody, when somebody bullies somebody else, it's something that they feel inside, the bully feels inside them, that they need to get out, and they feel like they need to take it out on somebody who is obviously in a weaker state. But, you know, how do you combat that? I think you have to combat that more with affirmation to the, you know, one being bullied. Be like, hey, listen, what they're saying doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. You are much better than everything else that they're saying, and not start believing that what they're saying is true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like what you're doing with the whole like talking to kids about bullying, because like a lot of kids, they struggle with that, and some kids actually take their lives because of,
right. Yeah, and you know what? After that, the bully feels the worst.
Yeah.
And then, but it doesn't end the bullying. It now gives him something that he's carrying on his shoulders now more so. And now it compounds. So now it's like he feels the guilt on top of the fact that, you know, that he was the cause of that. And then it starts to compound more, where it actually, it's like I said, it's no longer bullying, it's abuse. Because he couldn't handle the first part. Now he can't handle the extra stress involved. And it becomes more and more and more, rather than him like, oh my God, I just bullied somebody and they wound up taking their own lives. I have to stop. It's not how that works. It works the opposite direction. It actually guilts them and makes them feel worse, which makes them do it more.
Yeah. Wow. We got into a really heavy topic.
I was gonna say it went way away from the Philly sports scene, but no, it's something I'm passionate about. It's something that people need to understand, you know. So it's worth a few extra minutes of time.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah, whenever I do these podcasts, I always get into deep conversations with my guests, and I feel like that makes good content because like a lot of people want to know the traumatic life, the traumatic story, or the inspiring story that you will bring to the table, which is like really good content in my personal opinion. You know what I mean?
No, and I appreciate that. You know, it's like when you have this type of microphone, you know, that I've given myself, you know what I mean? Because nobody gave this to me. I've given it to myself. I've worked my ass off to get to this point where I'm at now, you know, to be the overnight sensation. Everybody sees and knows who I am now because I worked to get to this point. And it wasn't done by accident. It was done purposely and purposefully. But when you give yourself that type of microphone, you better use it for good. You need to use it for good, because if not, what's the point of having it? You know, I could be a narcissist and say, "Oh, everybody look at me, woohoo, yeah, me." But that's, you know, after a point that gets old, and I'm not built that way, you know. So I want to use it for good in every way that I can.
Yeah, which is really awesome. I like that. So, what's the future for you? Because I know we're running a little low on time, from what I see.
Yeah. So, people ask me, do you expect to be still doing this at 60 years old? And my first thought is, I hope so. I would love to still be doing this, in 10 years. That being said, when I think about the things that I'd like to do, I've worked from passion to passion, and I feel that ultimately that public speaking is probably going to be where this leads. I do a number of, I've been writing a one man play that is could be used for entertainment, could be used for public speaking. It could be used for motivation. There's a lot of different things that I feel that I am good at and I have to offer people who are looking for the things that I have. You know, it's like sometimes passion isn't enough. You have to be able to focus the passion so that you can get to your goals. And the hard part is seeing the goals. You know, it's like the hardest part of doing this was like, hey, I was trying to make this a business. Well, now it's a business. Now what? Okay. Now I want to be able to use this business, not just to be able to make sure that my kids eat sandwiches, but to be able to do good within the community. And that, you know, and so as that progresses, I want that to just continue to get better and better. And, you know, that's why I can't, you know, I got to give it my all the time. You know?
Yeah. There you go. I like that. Where can people find you?
Anywhere you look at, you Google me, the Philly sports guy, and everything will show up. If you put in Philly paint face guy, that'll show me up. Any social media, I'm on all of them. I post on everything just to let everybody know here I am. You can reach out to my website, thephillysportsguy.net. And very, very soon, I'm going to have swag.
I haven't heard that word since high school.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I tell people, hey, man, I dig that. And they're like, what? You know, so, but that's just kind of, this is kind of how I do things.
I'm almost 30. So, like, whenever I say old lingo, like, everyone's like, what are you talking about? My wife's younger brother, she has a brother who's 18, and he hates when I use his lingo, like cap or that song slaps or something. Like, he's like, don't talk like that. Like, he hates it. It's weird.
You know what? I, of course, being the TikTok guy, I get thrown into TikTok dances and stuff like that on occasion, which is kind of hysterical because I don't dance. You know, like, you want to talk about somebody who has rhythm? Look at somebody else. You want somebody who could paint his face really good? That's me. Try to dance? Not the thing. So, but they ask me to do these little, you know, weirdo dances. It's a shame they never tag me in them, because I'd be willing to bet that would be hysterical to watch me try to do whatever it is that I'm doing. Either that, or I look so dumb they never post. I don't know.
But hey, thank you again for coming on. I mean, you know, something I've been looking forward to.
It's been my pleasure. I really do appreciate it. I love having these talks. I wish I did have a little bit more time. Like I said, we could go. I answer any question. My life is a very open book. I try to keep my private life private, but you know, everything else is wide open, just because, you know, I need to be. I want to make sure that everybody understands that, hey, this is a job, and I represent. I know that, you know, even to some people's chagrin, that I represent them. But I want them to know that they'll never be, I'm never going to embarrass them, you know, my team or my city or myself ever.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, we'll definitely, I'll definitely have you back on again, because there's like more, I have more questions, obviously, but you know, we're running close on time.
So, but yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me. And just let me know next time, and I'll, you know, because after, I'm going to say after March, I'm going to have a lot of time, because we're going to be doing a parade in February.
All right. Sounds good. I like the sound of that.
Wow. What a great interview. It's really a great interview. All right. Well, that's going to be it. Thank you for giving me your time, Jamie, the Philly sports guy. Anyways, yeah. So I'm going to go, and we'll be back next week. We've got a couple episodes. Actually, I have a couple interviews next week too. So hope you guys stay tuned for that. And then, yeah, so hope you guys enjoyed that. I tried to get Ray Gonzalez on, but our schedules are kind of mixing up a little bit. So we're going to try to get him on maybe before Thanksgiving. That would actually be a good episode. I'll try to do that like next week sometime, or 2 weeks from now. Okay, in any event, that's it. I'm going to go. I'll see you guys later. Love you all to death. Check out my TikTok, TJTV6, producer TJ995. And hope you guys had a happy Halloween. I did. But yeah. Also, we will be back next week as well with another guest. Stay tuned for that. And yeah. All right. Love you all to death. Bye.